you wanna know about football on the radio. It's all on the Soccer Show.
I want all you football fans to get up on your feet, put your scarves together and your boots on your feet and give me some of that old goal stomping. Get ready. We've got a St. Patrick's Weekend podcast here for you to reach full time. My name is Jerry Mulkerins. Welcome to the Soccer Show, broadcasting to you live and direct from Terryland, the home of Galway United, on Friday the 15th March 2024. And like someone once said to me, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Well, on this show, we're going to meet some guests and they're going to tell you who they are and which team they support. And if this is your first time to tune into the Soccer Show, I know it's just simple synchronicity that's driven you towards this scattergun spectator approach that acts as a takeaway thorn in the side of a hot dog cabin fever with no subscription fee or necessity to like or share as we tackle the fans' appreciation of the beautiful game. Today's notice board, well, it reads it's too long in the tooth since the Tribesmen conquered the mighty Hoops at home. And in fact, my notebook, well, it's covered in tea stains, so the head-to-head print is just unreadable. But in reality, now the Maroon Army, well, it's rubbing shoulders with the big dubs once again. Our boys hope to give them capital clubs one hell of a beating, as my Rovers pal Jimmy often says. You want some? Well, we shall hear from that legend later, because my regular twin correspondents, Dennis and Mikey, well, they've gone AWOL this evening, leaving me to fend for myself amongst the hostile atmosphere that is being screened around the nation on the box as Shamrock Rovers visit town, with Mr. Hines getting ready in the ring for the big boxing bout involving the co-op member Thomas O'Toole, while the Jacket Dawson is urgently ringing for the vet on the Burren to save his family bollocks. Well, let's hope we all ain't found by the Sweeney with our own trousers down to get Nick's son by the mighty Hoops are rolling to town, weighed down by trophies, but slightly rattled without a victory yet this term, with a question mark over whether they swap boots onto the opposite feet. It's a night for the elevated view too, with the hottest ticket in town, as I jostle my way down the terrace steps to the front of the mix, looking for characters to rise up and be counted. So without further ado, let's now roll down the socks, comb the side parting and look for faded jerseys around the perimeter run to feed the microphone with some crucial and valid updates. Let's begin the red button now in the presence of Rhys Burke and a steady pint of porter.
Come on, Leonard!
Rhys, the Stone Roses, they said this is the one. This is the one, isn't it? This is what they were looking for last year. I mean, this is a compelling fixture, you know what I mean? Quality on show. What could you say about it?
Yeah, obviously the last year it's the two champions of the two divisions, so definitely going to be a good game in store.
There's going to be a lot of people here. I guess you need a lemonade box to stand up and watch it, wouldn't you? You know, this kind of game on the TV, hottest ticket in town. You know, when did you get your own ticket?
I got it only this evening, actually. I wasn't really planning on coming in, and one of the lads had a spare ticket, so I'm coming in, a few pints and going to enjoy the game.
Very good indeed. You're going to be standing up in the block F, are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Know the tunes, do you?
Yeah, I know the tunes. I know all the tunes.
Very good. I mean, Shamrock Rovers, they've just run away with the titles for the last few years, haven't they? You know, they're a quality side. It's unusual that they haven't won a game so far. I mean, would they be nervous coming down here? Because Galway, you've got a lot of energy, a lot of huff and puff and set piece routines, etc. Is that they'd be nervous of?
Probably, yeah. You know, it's always tough to come down to Galway. It's not an easy place to come. I was at the Shelburne game there 2 weeks ago, and Galway are good at the back. So obviously, I'd say Shamrock Rovers have their homework done on that. They know Galway won't be easy to break down, so definitely won't be an easy game for them.
No, they got hit on the transition, didn't they? The counter then, didn't they? One attack, and then, of course, the shells grew into that game. I mean, that's what you got to be nervous of, I suppose, with these serial Premier League sides, because they're so used to it and they know how to kill the game as well. We saw it last year with Bowes coming here, and I think an early goal
might do us the best, and maybe sit back then and fight for our life. So Shamrock Rovers have a good outfit, like they will be full pressure on, like from the kickoff. So hopefully Galway's, they'll stand out and they'll hold out.
Are you confident for a victory?
Not a victory, but I'd say 1-1 draw. I think it'll be a good result for us.
Very good. How long have you been supporting the club?
Oh, about 9 or 10 years now.
Do you play football yourself?
I do. Play with Carb Celtic out and around there. So
what position?
Centre half. So I got a hat-trick there 2 weeks ago, actually.
Oh, did you? Very good.
John Coffey might be giving me a shout soon. With the phone on.
We'll put a word in, you know?
Definitely.
So you'll be keeping an eye on them. Obviously, you know yourself, there's many ways to win a match, isn't there? You know, I mean, should they go out on the front foot, you know? Or would you just hold out, be a slightly defensive and watch it.
Hold out, and as you mentioned earlier, I think we're good from set pieces, so hopefully corners, free kicks. Hopefully if the referee's on our side, might give us a penalty. Eddie McCarthy around the box with his tricky feet might give us a penalty.
Well, enjoy your St. Patrick's weekend. You're starting off with a Guinness here.
Yeah, plenty of Guinness.
Tastes good.
Oh, lovely. Can't go wrong.
Nice, very good. And hopefully we get a good game. So one all your calling.
That was my prediction, yeah.
All right, good man. Thank you, Reese. So we won the can. It was then time to build on that by putting on my wizard dribbler's move. As you know, you can always be surprised by who you meet inside the stadium with quality celebrities amongst the community. So it was my own joy and luck to approach a couple of adorable ladies with the roving mic to discover the inside goss. Sinead, and you're the mum of?
Conor McCormick.
What a fantastic player.
I know.
Did he learn everything from you?
He did, of course.
The left foot and the right foot when he was a young kid,
absolutely,
was it?
Absolutely, yes.
So are you confident tonight?
Very confident, yes, very confident. They're going to win, of course they are.
I mean, this is a big test, isn't it? But this is what they were looking forward to when they got up into the Premier League, wasn't it?
I know. We travel a long way for them to win, so hopefully they'll win tonight.
Have you followed Connery's career? Have you been to every game?
Every game, followed him everywhere, yes.
Amazing. Okay, did you know when he was a young lad then, did you, that he was going to make it as a footballer?
Of course I did. He showed it from very, very young age.
Obviously, he's a leader. Trying to bring the team forward. I think they've played very well this year and I feel confident in them, but as I say, Shamrock Rovers coming down, they're laden down, aren't they, with trophies, you know. But big test, but I still think Galway can do it.
Of course they can, especially their home. Yes, why wouldn't they do it?
Okay, give us a prediction.
Oh, 1-0 to Galway.
And Connor to score.
Absolutely.
So with the Tribes two up, it was time to enter the visiting sanctuary where the green and white adorned the zone. To meet with a podcast legend himself to uncover why his Rovers have yet to celebrate this season, and could this be the night for that to happen? Graham, here we are down in Terryland. It was a fortress last year, so how nervous are Shamrock Rovers?
Nervous to get our first win of the season, yeah. If you get out with a draw, I'll be happy. I hope that we get a win, but we're plagued by a lot of injuries at the moment, so I would fully expect that once we have a full team to pick from that we'll start running. But like, if you look at this evening's even subs bench, we can't fill the subs bench and we have two goalkeepers named on the bench, so that'll tell you the state at the moment that the injuries hit.
I mean, they've been laden down with trophies over the last few years. It's unusual for them to start. Although last year, did they go 6 or 7 games?
Yeah, we won on our 7th. I wasn't worried at the slow start last season because we were playing well. This season, we just can't seem to get going in the usual way of playing that we play. So yeah, like, am I worried? No, it's only March. John Caulfield's teams are always hard to play against. He kind of does traditionally kind of park the bus as well. Pitch isn't great. Sligo's pitch last week wasn't great. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Do you get to most games?
Yeah, I'll go to all games, yeah, home and away.
Brilliant. What's the best game you've been to?
Actually, one of my favourite games was the cup game down here in 2019.
2-1, wasn't it? Lee Grace.
Yeah, Lee Grace. That was one of my favourite away trips, yeah.
Good crowd coming down as well. I mean, what, 1,000-odd green and white flags and banners?
I'm not sure precisely the number, but we always travel very well all over the country. And we always sing non-stop. So hopefully we'll get a nice response on the pitch and our first win of the season.
Of course, this is on the box tonight. So does that add a bit more pressure to the players?
I doubt it. I mean, the players are pros, so you'd hope that just because we're on telly doesn't add any pressure. But also sometimes the TV games, sometimes the travelling support would probably, if they're after having a long week, they might just say, look, I'm not going to go and I'll watch it on the telly. So that can be detriment sometimes when matches are on TV. But yeah, the league is getting stronger. Need to update stadiums, need to update pitches, and hopefully with government funding like the horse racing industry, we'll get there sometime.
I mean, do you find that with the disability, do you find access to particular grounds, is there an issue with that?
There's not an issue in regards to stewarding and security. Not every ground has a designated area, kind of makeshift area. Rovers obviously has Tallaght Stadium, great area. Cork, Turner's Cross is a great area. Richmond Park, great area. The likes of Galway here, it's kind of makeshift. It's grand, no issues, won't give out about it. But it's no different than any other area, you know, it has to improve. across the board, able-bodied, disabled, whatever. And you would hope that, given that the league is getting so popular, that the government would just get their finger out and start getting behind it. Because, as I said, with the horse racing industry, we've seen Cheltenham this week, Ireland, all the backing they get from government, and look at the results at Cheltenham, absolutely unbeatable over there. I've no doubt that if they got the finger out and gave probably, I mean, 40, 50 million given to the horse racing industry, if they were to do that with the football industry, God knows what we could do. So you would hope that infrastructure and stadia and all would improve.
A friend of mine here, he's in a wheelchair as well, and you know, he's had issues in the city with taxi drivers, with nightclubs and basically things like that, that his life has changed. So could you be a voice? Have you anything to add to that, really?
Well, I've long been a voice of, I've been called the voice of the voiceless over many years, so it's tiring at the moment. Like, it's tiring. I'm 39 years of age, and it gets tiring when you're fighting corners where, similar to the football kind of industry asking for money, the disabled community are sick of government as well. So I'm not sure it's the right forum to go down that road at the moment. But
well, hopefully we see just a great match and goals. And as I say, for me, I think if Galway got a point, I think we'd be delighted. But what's your own prediction?
I'd love a win, but I mean, it's considering the slow start, considering the personnel available, I think you'd have to be happy with it if you got out of here with a draw.
Okay, enjoy the match. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The Soccer Show, for fans only.
Great there to receive Graeme's pre-match review, and let's keep working on disability access improvements. As he rightly mentioned, that there's plenty more yardage room for discussion with authorities for boosted investment in our beautiful game, and respect the supporters' request to provide comfortable viewing for us all in arenas up and down the nation. Okay, moving on. I then look to level the guest scores, as there's no hiding place in Block A, so I counter-attack Peter Nolan in and around the Chibi van to set-piece the onions and low-block the buns with no sloppiness in a list of ketchup questions. Peter, massive match. I mean, Galway, we're really looking forward to this kind of occasion. What's your expectation of this match?
Well, first thing, it's great to be back in Galway. It's great to be back in Amy DC Park. We've been missing you from the Premiership. This is a tricky time for us. Galway are a very well-marshalled team at this stage, so I wouldn't take any for granted. Trophies in the cupboard are no use when they're last year's. It's this year's is the one we want. So looking forward to a good match. As I said, difficult start for us. I know people believe we're going to come good, but until points are in the bag, you can't really determine that.
Is there a reason for their slow starts? The same as last year, but they went on then, of course, they lifted the trophy, but they didn't begin well either.
No, but a bit the same as last year. We're playing quite well, except for about 30 minutes in the Dundalk game. I think we've been playing pretty okay. You know, the pitch last week was pretty tricky. A lot of injuries at the beginning of the season, which is a bit worrying. But, you know, we'd be confident we'd still be there in the mix at the end. I think the league is going to be much more competitive this year. Galway and Waterford coming up, I think they're going to come up as stronger teams. I don't think they're anyway the automatic relegation place that was there previously.
No, Waterford invested in Galway have got players with Premier League experience in their squad. I mean, is this sort of game that can be won in transition, is it? You know, a counter-attack or slick pass to play or set piece perhaps?
I think so. One of the things, we're kind of the first game of the season where we lost our two wing-backs has been a big setback for us in Clark and Ferrugia. So yes, I think in the transition there's really that possibility with fast wing backs, and we're missing that. We have some quality in midfield, but the wing backs are where the pace is provided. So I think yes, that's a real possibility for both teams.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I guess they take a draw here anyway. A point would be quite good, you know.
I think both teams might be happy with a point here, but I think it's getting to the stage in the season where Rovers really need to be putting,
you don't want Shells running away with it.
So no, well, I think it was Derry running away with it this time last year.
Yeah, well, they've got a great striker as well. They've added Hoban, haven't
they?
Yeah,
I've heard of this guy. He seems be a good player, all right. But obviously maybe a new lease of life with Derry. I think his time is up with Dundalk, but yeah, he's always been a tremendous goal scorer for Derry, and that's what they were missing last year.
Of course, one of your favourites, Gaffney, he's a local boy as well, you know, might come back and might be relaxed.
And they have a few in there kind of. So look, the really, really, really great thing is that the League of Ireland seems to be thriving. We've kind of sell out notices in nearly every stadium. A little bit short tonight, I think it was the TV attendance. tonight. I know we got extra tickets. I'm not quite sure what's responsible for that. I think we're a little bit shy of a full attendance here tonight, but I suspect that's to do with the TV.
Yeah, and also people going away. It is St. Patrick's weekend, of course, after all, isn't it? You know, so give us a prediction.
I'm going to go for 2-1 to the Hoops.
Okay, thank you for talking to us.
Cheers, thank you.
Have you enough balls to listen to The Soccer Show? WordPress.com. The Soccer Show, for fans only.
Right, so it's all set up nicely then as the players go toe-to-toe in maroon and green and eyeball-to-eyeball on the pitch with some top-level quality available to thrive in such an environment that's intriguing to watch both on and off the screen. And I guess it's integral to both managers' plans that they get off to a fast start. And with just one starting 11 change prescribed for both outfits, with Kazim replacing Donnellan for John Caulfield's host after last Friday's draw against Drogheda, while opposing boss Stephen Bradley, well, he gave Darren Nugent the nod to allow Aaron Green to rest his butt on the bench after their own draw in the Rovers derby at Sligo Showgrounds last week. The Coma Stand champions' atmosphere lifted the occasion afar, replicating the world's largest stadium with large flags waving from left to right to not only brighten up those TV camera lens, but to share that capacity for jealousy to fans in the armchair. Before the fella in the middle, Paul McLaughlin, well, he blasted the first whistle at 7:45 to set out the frantic pace, with United's Peaky Blinder himself, Kazim, looking to get his nose in front and making that impact with crucial interceptions to press high and show his pace down the left flank. The Hoops' Darragh Burns wearing number 21. He floated in an early cross with intent to damage the United defence, but they stood firm, protecting the space in front of Brendan Clark when the door was open to shoot. Ed McCarthy, he was always on his heels, and he led the Rovers skipper Roberto Lopez on a merry dance of chasing some shadows before he was unceremoniously upended in front of the Corrib side voices to spell the number 4 for the little book of on-field misdeeds and a warning to all of those out there with some flair. The crowd were buzzing as Galway's drive up the ante in the opening exchanges, but gradually the visitors' prowess, well, it began to take control as United seemed to drop further back, allowing some gaps in the middle of the park to be exploited. And then a careful transition counter by Rory Gaffney. Well, he was back on home soil, and then he slipped Cassine as United, well, they needed to soak up the pressure, and they had corners against them being forced. But Bruders, luckily, his bonds denied any opponent's gifts. David Hurley, he was kicking and being kicked, with Burns ever eager to invade local territory, while Brendan Clark, he defied his inner circle rings to dive and punch away Graham Burke's fierce effort from outside the D as the Hoops were growing into it, with Josh Honoran's header flying up and over. And it took a last gasp slide from Kazin to deny a certain product goal, with Burke again the protagonist in the scene. United retaliated soon after and set free McCarthy's pace on a counter sprint in a 2-on-1 rally, until David Cleary, wearing 6, said he wasn't going to be a prisoner and is not just a number, as he jailed up the runaway that finished with a tame Borden drive direct into Leon Pohl's gloves. The former tribesman himself, Lee Grace, well, he partnered him with assurance as height became an advantage, with no exploitation in any aerial assaults. And the match official, well, he wasn't having any light fouls in the action, and he felt diving was possible for any niggles. So Caulfield and Horgan, well, they looked to sharpen it up from the United bench with the introduction of Ayo Dervin's tenacity for Carlo Sullivan on the half-hour mark. He marked the incoming appearance by firing in an instant cross that delivered just an inch too much for Walsh's nut as the deflection looked to hit the frame of the goal. The one-way traffic cone, though, it pointed towards Rory Gaffney's boot with a shot that fizzed in following Marcus Poom's teed-up daisy cutter on the right. United's corner count, well, that up to set pieces took over as we asked, well, who invents all these routines each week, because there's always something new to thrill. But this time, though, McCarthy's efforts held up and over, and Rovers, they had their own plans with the direct free after Captain McCormack pushed to stop an offensive outside the box. But on the 45, it was a stalemate nil-all. And to see if everyone's happy about that, I looked to get a fair assessment of the half with my pal Jerry Mellon, then found my old Soccer Show pal to gain an explosive Rovers view in a world prescribed by few as fair. Well, the boxer Thomas O'Toole, he made a presentation out on the pitch prior to his big ring bout. Half time, Jerry. 0-0.
Yeah, first time this season, Jerry. Good to see you back in the old lads' stand.
I mean, you're a storyteller, you're a bit of a comedian. Anything to laugh about in that first half?
Oh, it's all laughing matter. But look, nil all at half-time, you'd have taken that. I don't think Rovers are any great shakes. Couple of decent chances for us, couple of decent chances for them. I don't think... We're definitely not getting torn asunder, that's for sure. And we're playing into the town into the second half, so here we go.
I mean, McCarthy was upended, wasn't he, there? And there was a booking for their captain early doors. I mean, Galway started brightly, didn't they? I mean, they were really pushing for it, but then I thought they sort of settled back, they dropped back, and Rovers kind of came into it, started to find the space a bit more. But then until the substitution, there was a good sub made.
I think so. No harm to O'Sullivan. He was playing okay, but I love to see Dervin on. I couldn't believe that we dropped him for the Drogheda match. He's got a bit of energy about him, and he seems to have spooked Rovers a bit. He's got something about him, and we're doing okay. Walshy up front. I mean, I'd love to see maybe Francely coming on, because you know, the Rovers defenders are spraying it around the back, and somebody who just put a bit of pressure on them. And I don't know what the story with Wasim is, but a match like this is meant for him, like a big guy. We'll see. But no, half-time, nil all, I'll take that.
I mean, a lot of tenacity in there in the side, really, and especially, like, say, Dervin, when he comes on, he showed that down the side. One of his first involvements was getting a deep cross in and a few headers, but they've been dangerous too. You can't take your eye off them. They went round the keeper there at one time, Clark, didn't they? And it was Kazim, who's also, I thought, had a great game here on the left side. He's putting some good passes, good effort, and made a final, well, a final save there.
Yeah, he looks like a proper player. He's got good speed and stuff, and he likes to get forward as well. So, no, we're in there, and we're playing into the town into the second half. So, you know, here's hoping.
A big crowd playing the part.
Brilliant, yes. This is what it's all about. Friday night football, big crowds. Rovers, fair play to them, like they're usually a huge traveling sport. I know, it's great to see. But I mean, you've been here, Jerry, 3 or 4 years ago, you know, 500 people watching us play in Wexford, or no harm to them either, or Cove, but this is what it's all about. And survival is obviously the name of the game, but because I think it's going to be a very tight league this season. There might even be two leagues. It could be like Shells, Pats, Rovers, Derry, and then the rest of us slugging out to try and, but I don't think anybody's going to be cut adrift like UCD were last season or anything like that.
Normally we're used to kind of Rovers being very comfortable, but they've kind of looked a little rattled, haven't they, really, in the matches leading up to this. But today I think, well, I don't think it's a huge gap, you know, huge difference in class between them.
No, absolutely. I think if we go at them, I think probably showed them a bit too much respect in the first half. I think if we go at them, I wouldn't say they're there for the taking, but there's definitely a result in there, and I'd take a draw at this stage, but a win would be fantastic.
Definitely. And just away from this, so you had your the comedy competition, the final?
Yes, indeed. Show Me the Funny was a competition for newbies in the King's Head, and good talent out there, and a woman called Sophie Cadigan won the final, so she's going to be in the Electric Picnic comedy tent. But there's other good talent out there. It's very encouraging to see, but even if it's a bit depressing to see these guys who are just rookies, newbies, who get more laughs than I do, but yeah, that's not the story of my life. You know?
That's great. Well, give us a one-liner for that first half.
Yeah.
Good man. Jimmy, welcome back to the Soccer Show. Good to see you again, but you're here in your green and white now tonight. What about the first half? Tell us.
Well, yeah, I'm not too impressed with Rovers. I think that, like, both teams had their chances. I'm not too... We'll see you the second half. I'm not, like, Rovers this season, 5 in a row is a big ask, and I think they're just, like last season, slow to begin with. I think this is a nil-all on it, so we'll see.
I mean, the TV cameras wouldn't like that, would they? They want a bit of action replays to be showing, do you know?
I know, yeah. I might be on the camera because I'm right beside the pitch, so that's where we're standing.
You're not thinking of running on, are you?
Well, we'll see if Rovers score, because, like, as I said to you, I'm standing at the end. Rovers scoring into the second half, hopefully. So you might see me on the pitch.
How's your knees? You could do the old knee slide, could you?
No, my knees don't hold up to sliding anymore, no.
Anyway, the Soccer Show has missed you.
Well, when are you bringing it back?
you'll have to come down here and become a Maroon, a tribesman.
Oh, no.
I can't convert you.
No, you can't convert me, no.
We said we'd meet in the pub. We met in Uses, didn't we? You know
we
what
did
I mean?
Indeed,
and then all of a sudden we were in on date with people in green and white. And I thought, where did you put the word around like? You know, that'd be nice.
That's
and
the place to be.
Well, I mean, some of the action, was it Burke who had a fine shot for you, and then Clark, he made a good save that end. You know, you went round the keeper, you went round Clarky at one point, didn't you? I don't know how your view was from down here in the corner.
Yeah, I missed it. No, I didn't see that. So, see, I'm just pessimistic. You know, even though Rovers have won four leagues in a row, I'm still pessimistic about them every time they play. Well, not every time they play. This season, I think, slow start and...
Did you not think they grew into it?
Yeah, I know, but they moved the ball around and all that. But it's scoring goals this season.
I thought, you know, some of Rovers' set pieces, the corners were dangerous. God, we were having trouble clearing it.
Well, what I'd noticed in like some of the Rovers' matches earlier on, that they seemed to be hitting the ball longer to Gaffney. Tonight, they do seem to be trying to play it up the pitch a bit more. So hopefully, Galway still are getting their chances, so I don't know. We'll see. Rovers seem to be on top the latter half of the first half. If they can come out and play the football that I know they can play, but they haven't seemed to be playing this season, hopefully we'll win.
It's kind of like Galway's energy, and then there was a little bit more composure, I thought, from Rovers. But you'd expect that. You know.
Even from the crowd, you know that like Rovers are in town and Galway are going to pick it up, we'll see.
Oh, we'd be picking up the rubbish after all the rubbish fans. Sure.
We'll see. I don't know.
I mean, you must admire. I guess you'll have sleepless nights after looking over that Comey stand and seeing all the maroon banners and flags waving in the air. I mean, you know, you'll be haunted by that tonight for the rest of the week.
I with me two kids. Cullen is supporting Galway and Grania is supporting Rovers. So at least I didn't totally fail as a parent.
Divided loyalties, for sure, you know. Well, there you go. Well, between you, you're going to be happy. I mean, we could see a nil-all draw, we could, I mean, for sure. But, players might get tired. The energy, I guess, substitutions, impact
from
the bench.
Well, I suppose
really.
That would be the thing. The Rovers probably have a better squad, and you would expect that they can bring better quality off the bench. But it's about putting the ball in the net. Like, I know it's all clichés, but we'll see. I don't know. I'm just pessimistic tonight. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a few points I had beforehand.
Well, it's just coming to this arena, man. You know,
it is. I'm like, intimidated,
exactly,
walking up the Dyke Road, I just felt scared.
Exactly. The Anfield, Old Trafford, St James has got nothing on this place, you know.
MNDC.
Or Tala.
MNDC,
Good to see you back, and hopefully it'll encourage you back for the next few games.
Yeah, we will. Well, the last time you brought me to here, we were saying like cup match, I don't know, was it 2019 or whatever? Last minute. I came with you the following week. The place was half empty. They were playing Cove Ramblers, and it was the best match I'd ever seen.
Was that the 7-0 and Martin Ludden got four goals? Was it
second half? I think it was 7-1 because I think Cove had scored in the first half. Then they got a man sent off, and then I'd never seen a match where there were six or seven goals scored. But your Galway loyal weren't there that night. They were all here to see the Rovers the week before, but they weren't here to see Cove. So, you know.
Well, that's it. That's the nature of the game. You know, it's all got a lot bigger with the bigger boys here now. You know, it's got larger all round.
The next time I see John Caulfield on the bus, I'll say hello to him, and hopefully he'll be a depressed man after tonight.
Well, keep that green under that cover.
Oh, yeah. You've seen my T-shirt, yeah.
Good man.
The Soccer Show, for fans only.
So it was on as even then as I bumped shoulders with the treaty striker Enda Curran all on my way back to the pew under the gantry as both sides, they wished that they had a decent pair of boots to get that ball over the line. The ping-pong affair, it started up in earnest as the night sky darkened with a half-moo appearing yonder as McCarthy picked up the strings to shoot over towards the old dressing room end that was packed with spectators ordering the ball home. And they then all unanimously pointed outraged victory fingers to the on-field bureaucrats when SW7 Walsh was judged to have fallen far too easily when nudged in the back by a defender's knee whilst climbing very high for the ball. Rory Gaffney, he was looking to crown his return to the West by swivelling on the edge of the box to force a shot that dragged narrowly wide as some lovely crossfield telling passes found acres of space to run into with that squeeze to release tactic. Captain McCormack, he was displaying that fighting spirit his mum Sinead spoke about earlier, seeing the radius of Gaffney's possession just after the hour on the clock, while Kazim was always expressing himself and the joy to fly down the flank, skipping flailing studs on the run, looking to drop the shoulder, cut inside and deliver the one deadly required cross to break the dreadlock. Yes, sir, Astor. Dervin, he was busy with tearing into 50-50 races, raising fans' cheers, and it was odds on he wasn't going to be missing in action. He was inspiring teammates on, entertaining the masses, reaching for those drop second balls with some stumpy pins, indulging in contests all over the blaze. And this game, well, it could go either way. Dylan Watts, he fired in another corner for the hoops, says, with every quadrant kick this evening, it looked dangerous, and it pumped extra blood around the maroon beater as it landed inside the box, only for Killian Bruders to be the first to react to clear it away, and then keeper Clark, well, he had to stay alert and make a stunning save from Lopez, who returned the lever with force all inside a crowded area. With a quarter to go, Rovers swapped places with both John Kenny and Conan Noonan adding fresh legs with a carp DM thought to seize the day. But this didn't deter Galway's best moments of the match on the front foot, uplifting the temperature, winning a decent free after the sub himself. Noonan, well, he left McCarthy in need of the physio's magic sponge around the D, while Kazim also felt Cleary's punch in the ribs as both those hoops received cautions for their over-attentive behaviours. With 10 to go, Gaffney waved goodbye to onlookers as Aaron Green returned and he had to deal with another United deep free floating right into the hazard box as Hurley's sweet foot found Walsh's forehead in front of the sticks as it almost rattled a net with cries of oohs and ahs descending from the terrace crew. So close, yet so far. But like life, football can sometimes be so cruel, and that inevitable sucker punch, well, it gobsmacked us all with 5 minutes left, as Dylan Watts, well, he played a pass right into the path of Dara Burns, who went on to beat his man marker, to then place a low cross from the right, straight across the box to find the inrushing sub Kenny, to smash and grab the ball, to ripple the net and send the away faithful into raptures of delight. And if Micah the Jacket was here, well, we might have heard the word bollock, as the vet landed on the Burren to add further drama to this epic 90-minute encounter. Heads sank low and the seats flat back with the hindsight talk that if you can't make the most of your opportunities when you're on top, then you always leave the door open to be punished. United rallied, though, with some late subs looking to level with a few minutes added time as Lombardo and Hickey added fire. But the four-time title winners, well, they kept their cool and they saw the game out to gain their first victory of the campaign and leave United staring at yet another small margin defeat. The result leaves them, though, still in fourth, while Rovers move up to seventh place. Following the dust down, as our beautiful game, as we know, is one of opinions seen through various eyes and agendas, I join the company of the media pros, Mike Rafferty and Paul Corker and others, to hear from the Chiefs, Ollie Horgan and Stephen Bradley. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks again to all our guests, club staff and media crew. This is Jerry Mulcairns reporting live from AIM in DC Park for The Soccer Show. Do enjoy your St. Patrick's Day celebrations and stay onside until next time.
Ollie Horgan, how'd you read that one?
Oh, I don't think you need to ask me. That bike, of course, probably hugely disappointed with the concession of the goal so late in the game, but that's often the nature of playing Shamrock Rovers. I just thought at the time, if they'd scored in the first half when they were on top, you know, you might have seen it differently. I felt at the time that we probably weren't in any grave danger of losing the game. Not saying we'd have gone and won the game. Probably had the better chances in the second half, but in the first half, Shamrock Rovers were the better side. Had to score that, and you know, we switched off basically. Dylan Watts clipped the ball in, and Al had switched off, and Johnny Kenny does what he does. I thought we were very good as regards our shape, our organisation, our togetherness. And while we didn't have a whole lot of chances in the first half, I thought the second half we certainly, if you like, broke even. We had a couple of good chances, albeit half chances from the edge of the area. I think Stephen Walsh had a header that went just past the post. And it's probably the fact that we had our best spell of the game at the time when we conceded. But that's the quality of Shamrock Rovers. And you know, it's a very quiet changing room in there, which is a good thing. They're hurting, we're all hurting. But that's what it's about, and that's what this division is about. Like, we've lost narrowly at home here to, obviously, Shamrock Rovers, to Pats. We lost narrowly in Shelburne, all 1-0. And that's the maybe the relentless nature of this league and the quality of this league. If you don't, you know, if they switch off for a second, as we did there tonight, you get punished.
And the only time they actually got behind you.
Well, yeah. Although we did sit deep and we probably didn't cough up spaces in there. You know, they played in the pockets and we dealt with them quite well. I thought they created more in the first half than they did in the second half. I think it's just the timing of it is the part that's hard to take. But we've no one to blame bar ourselves. Like, we're not going, you know, complaining about officials and whatever. It's the relentless nature rather that, you know, you switch off for a second, albeit in the 85th minute, and Darren Burns does, yeah, and then Johnny Kenny, who pops up, he gets in between the two centre halves. And, you know, another day that could have gone over the crossbar and he hit it that hard, but that's what it is. You know, it's better this in my eyes and competing with the best in the country than winning, if you like, in the lower division. But it does physically and mentally test you. And to be fair to the lads, I thought they were excellent there tonight, bar that moment of switching off, Mike.
Yeah, now we're aware that it's three little losses against Pats, Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers tonight. You know, you've ran everybody close. You've never been outclassed in any of those games. I think just you need to get a few breaks going your way.
Yeah, probably we need maybe a little bit, you know, more decision making when we did counter there tonight. Although in the second half, I thought we were better in the counter. Look, they're a proper side and we need to get up to that level. I felt we did, but that's us at home. You know, we need to go to the Brandywell in 2 weeks' time. We go to Talla and, you know, it'll be more difficult in those places. But we can't fault anyone in there as regards their endeavour. They stuck to the game plan. They went through a brick wall and they're devastated, which is a good sign, to put it that way, too, as are we. You know, it's not the first time that we've been in that changing room in both here and in other places that Shamrock Rovers score late in a game, and that's the quality that they have. And well done to them, and, you know, they didn't panic at any stage. Just from our own point of view, I felt that it was probably the time we were on top, if we were on top in a game, that we conceded. And that's probably the part that is difficult to take.
You also made a nearly tactical change about the half-hour mark, brought Aidan Irvine on.
Yeah, we put A in for Carl. We wanted to probably get our shape a bit better. And, you know, there was no huge thought given to it, bar to try and ensure, you know, we had a few problems in that pocket in the inside left channel in the first half, and we tried to shore it up with something different. And, you know, some days it works, some days it doesn't. Both Carl and Ed are two great lads, and, you know, they'll have better, please God, results through the season.
Lack of goals, obviously, I'm stating the obvious here when I say no goals in the last three games. That's obviously disappointing.
Yeah, what did we concede? The two, was it, in the last three games? So, like, you can say defensively we've been very good. Maybe at the other end, probably. Like, with a lot of set pieces in that, in the division last year, a lot of them would have gone in, but you saw the way they defend set pieces and the quality of the way. You know, I think what's underestimated with Shamrock Rovers is the way they defend. They defend properly. It's not just the quality, which are Darragh Burns or your Graham Burks and Rory, and that it's also the way that the three centre halves defend and, you know, put their head to it and whatever. But it's gone. We you know, yeah, the Marl victory, we've had, you know, no good to you whatsoever. But, you know, the positive is we felt we weren't far away. The negative is, obviously, we've nothing shorter.
Small margins, Ollie, you know, and smash and grab, you could really call it, couldn't you? But like I think
smash and grab is a bit unfair to Shamrock Rovers, you know what I mean? I think, yeah, we possibly at the time deserved a draw when they scored in the first half. I felt Shamrock Rovers were the better side. We didn't really create too much. We did have a number of set pieces, and, you know, the second half I felt we probably shaded it, but, you know, we can nothing but congratulate Shamrock Rovers. They won the last four leagues for a reason, but we need to dust ourselves down and go again at all places in the Brandywell in 2 weeks' time.
Would you be looking forward to getting Wasim back up front then?
Of course, you're looking forward to getting everyone back fit, to put it that way to you. I just felt we probably had enough half chances to win or to score, to put it that way to you. We'd three that fell to the edge of the area that we put high and wide, to put it that way to you. If we had a little bit more maybe quality or a little bit of decision making, possibly one of them would get in the top corner, to put it that way to you. Ed came across, he got inside Daniel Cleary and he clipped one that went wide of the post. Another day then he might get in the top corner and you win the game. There are very small margins and we've come out on the wrong side of it tonight, to put it that way.
I mean, you can't fault their tenacity, can you? Their strength, their ability, you know, they're really like, you know, taking on these big boys. But I thought Kasim had a very good game. He's really grown into it.
Yeah, he's probably disappointed for the goal, to be honest with you. He switched off for the goal with the clip from Dylan Watts. Darragh Byrne's going to be behind him. Other than that, he was very, very good. But that's the nature of this league. You know, he's played another 30-odd games with Colchester in the League Two in England. But the intensity of this is probably higher. And in the 85th minute, you know, physically and mentally, it's his probably first 90 whatever minutes in a long whiling. And to be fair to him, he was very, very good other than that.
OK, finally, just happy St Patrick's Day.
God bless you. Same to you.
Not complicated, just keep probing, keep trusting it. And 9 times out of 10, it's enough to win games. If it's not, it's not. But tonight it was. But what we don't do is we don't start launching balls into the box. We don't start shooting from 30, 40 yards. It's about keep probing, keep working. And if you do that enough, you'll get your rewards. And we did that tonight.
And just the goal for Johnny, what will that do for him? Because, you know, he has to be patient at times.
Yeah, to be fair to Johnny, he's so far behind our lads in terms of pre-season. He was back in Celtic, he had an op, which we all knew. The rehab was really good over there, but meant he only came back to us, I think it was 2 weeks into the season. So he's still playing catch-up in terms of all of that. So we have to be patient with him, but what we love and what I've always said about Johnny is it takes real bravery to be a centre-forward and put yourself in positions to miss. And Johnny does that. Obviously, he scores, but it takes bravery when you miss to be in that position again and put yourself in that position. And Johnny has that mentality. And he's still lots to work on. He's still young. And we believe here's the place for him to develop that talent. And I think he's a really high ceiling, Johnny. I think he's a lot of really good attributes. We need to improve the ones that are not so good, but I think he's a really high ceiling.
How far is he off starting?
No, he's nowhere near that at the moment. Like I said, he came in 2 weeks into the season, so he hasn't done any pre-season, obviously. So this break now will help in terms of training and getting him more into his legs. But starting, I still think you're looking at probably the end of this round of games, like, you know, probably.
We haven't planned over the break, or?
No, we won't do anything. We're missing. We're six down tonight. Trevor's on the bench, but it was literally just to get him back involved. He's only trained for the first time yesterday, so 7 down tonight. So we won't play any games, or we'll just train and try and get some bodies back. We think we get 2 or 3 of them back over the next 10 days, which would be good.
So you don't see the break as a bad thing?
Right now, no. Yeah. Usually I like to play quite regular with this team, but like I said, we're missing Aaron McNeff, Richie Tell, Jack Bourne, Gary O'Neill, Neil Ferrugia, Sean Kavanagh. We're missing quite a few tonight, like, you know. So all for the next 2 weeks, it'll give us a chance to get a couple of them back.
And maybe just a really quick one, Stephen. I suppose, like, not to make a big deal out of, you know, winning for the first time tonight. It's so early in the season, but I suppose it must be nice heading into the 2 week break with that first win under your belt.
Yeah, look, there's no point in showing away. We wanted to win more games. Yeah. I'm not standing here saying we're okay with not winning games. That's not us. We've set standards. We want to win games. So we're not happy with where we are in terms of points total. I'm not saying that at all. We want to win. And we want the 3 points on the board as soon as possible. But like I said, we know what it takes over the course of a season. When we've been so successful, the worry is hunger and mentality. And I've seen actually more hunger and more drive to want to be successful, which is the pleasing thing. So when you have that and you have the quality, you know you're in a good place. And I believe this group are in a good place. And look, it's what we this year, fourth game or fifth game. So it's early. But like you said, it's a win. We get the international break, hopefully get a few bodies back, hopefully Pico and Marcus and Darragh Byrne come back okay, and then we can kick on after the international break.
Stephen, I haven't met you since Lee Gray scored in the last minute here in a cup game, and a lot has happened since then. You've won a lot of trophies, you know, been very successful. Tonight, very similar, late goal. I mean, did you think you were going to get the winner, or was it looking nil all?
We don't worry if we're going to get the win or not. Like I said, we know what we do works. We know if we keep believing and keep probing, keep asking questions of the opposition, we get opportunities. Sometimes it's enough, sometimes it's not. And when it's not, we're okay with that. And when it is, obviously we win games. So we just keep believing in what we do, and we've done that the last 5 years, and it's worked out okay. So we just need to keep believing in that going forward.
You know, is it nice to come back here? Nice to come back to Galway. Good to see them back up with the big boys.
Yeah, I love Galway in the league. I love everything about it. The fans are passionate. You can see how organised they are as a team. John, Ollie know the league inside out. John's someone I have unbelievable respect for. But I love coming here and playing games. It's what the league is about in terms of, you know, it's always a tough one. And like I said, sell out, crowd are hostile, which is nice. And you know, I like it. It's great to see them back up.
I mean, did you feel any pressure going? It's only three games in, isn't it, really? But not getting the victories on the board that you normally used to. Last year, you went a few games as well, didn't you? But you went on and trounced it then, didn't you? So are you feeling the same way?
Ah, look, pressure. People talk about pressure. I've seen real pressure in life. And this is a pleasure. This isn't pressure. What we do is a pleasure. When we've got a chance to perform on a stage like this, for a club like this, at the level these players play at and have played at, this is a pleasure. Representing this club is a pleasure. It's not pressure. People might try and build on the outsiders' pressure. That's laughable to me. You know, I love what we do. We love what we do. And like I said, I've seen real pressure. This is a privilege.
How's your boy?
He's doing really well. That's the pressure I'm talking about. So yeah, this is exactly, whether we win, lose or draw. Do we want to win every game? Of course you do. Do we want to keep in set? Of course. But there's bigger things in life and more important
exactly.
things.
I'm fully with you there. I've a daughter with cystic fibrosis. Okay. She's doing very well, you know, but went through all of them kind of trials and tribulations.
And
with
all.
It's hard.
That. Yeah. Today's my mum's anniversary. She's 8 years dead. Yeah. So when you've been through all that, it's, like I said, people talk about pressure and all this pressure. This is nice. If we put ourselves in a position to have so-called pressure, it means we're on the verge of achieving things, and that's nice.
Very good. You're looking very well. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks,
Dave. The Soccer Show, for fans only.